Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this, the new episode of the Roker Report. It hasn't been a very busy week at all for us, really, because Sunderland weren't playing. So we've all occupied ourselves in our own little fashion. Today I'm joined by Gav. How you doing, Gav?
I'm all right, mate. No sun to spoil this weekend. Yeah.
All good. Always pretty a good thing. Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good time, mate.
Good times. James, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, very well. Same as the other boys, very happy with no Sunderland games to get me down over on Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny how happy we can be when we're not deliberately depressed, isn't it? And Jim, we've got Jim. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Glad to be back. We haven't been on a few weeks.
I'm glad to have the name Jim now, because there are just so many unimaginative parents in the world. And we've just got too many people going on. Good times. Well, yeah, obviously a good weekend for most of us. Nothing to bring us down, as it were, except the impending knowledge of another match coming up. This time it's against Borough. Not doing too well themselves, to be honest. We were just having a little look at their stats, and I believe they're a little bit further behind than we are, although the table doesn't show that. But certainly form-wise, Tom, you know a little bit about them. What do you make of them?
The crap. Absolute crap.
Good. They can't. That's encouraging.
They can't. The main problem is they can't score goals. Like Gestede and... Well, Negredo started quite well, and it looked a bit like an inspired signing, but it gone completely off the boil. They can't. They brought in players like Gestede, who was a bit baffling, really, because he wasn't really a prolific goal scorer for Villa or even, well, Blackburn in the Championship, and he wasn't really going to solve their goal scoring issues. And also, they bought Patrick Bamford, which at the time I thought, oh, maybe for this lad, it's finally his chance to go back to a club he was doing very well at. But he's not. He barely plays, and he's not started a game. They sacked Karanka, which probably looked about right. But I think they really missed a trick by not getting a manager, an actual manager in. It's very admirable giving the job to Steve Agnew. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's worked at, like Shakespeare at Leicester, it's worked there, but very different circumstances and very much better team. And while it got some plaudits that they stayed within the club and promoted from within, it's looking like a massive missed opportunity for them to get someone like say for instance Pardew, who probably would have given them a bounce of some sort. But since Agnew's come in, not only can they not score, they now can't defend, which was kind of a bit of Karanka's saving grace, because he always had this idea of, you know, keep it tight at the back. Quite weird that for someone who used to play for Real Madrid. Yeah. But now they can't. Now they can't defend. They conceded four. They got an absolute pace the weekend against Bournemouth, and that's the second time in four games that they conceded four to a team like around them. And, I mean, we're crap, but I think we all... I think Wednesday is just going to be two desperately poor teams playing out a desperately poor game of football. And I'd hazard a guess that, well, since we can't score, and they can't score, and they can't... Well, it's going to be nil-nil, I can tell you that. I'd hazard a guess right now that it's going to be nil-nil, and it'll help none of us. And the beautiful hotbed of football in the northeast will be... We'll be going down together, arm in arm, for our lovely derby in the Championship next year.
I'd agree.
Maybe Newcastle will be with us, because they're trying their hardest not to get promoted.
say they're drawing at the moment on there. But I agree with Tom. I don't think it's going to be a very good game. I think if you take out someone like Alvaro Negredo out of Middlesbrough's side, you take out all their threat. You take out Jermaine Defoe from our side, and you take out all of our threat. Mm. Just looking at the stats, I mean, I didn't realise, but our third top goal scorer this season is still Patrick Van Aanholt, and our third top passer this season is still Patrick Van Aanholt. Mm. And you think that's pretty dire considering he left a few months ago. I just think both sides are lacking in confidence. You'd hope that, you know, Wabi Kazri will play again, and if he plays to the same kind of standard, we might cause him some problems. I think it might be one of those games where, you know, it'd probably be quite frantic early on with it being a, in inverted commas, derby. And it might be a set player or a mistake that kind of settles it. I can't see it being full of quality, that's for sure.
I actually think that we might do all right. It's not like me to be positive either, but I feel that having watched Middlesbrough a little bit recently and having seen us all season, I should know better than to think this. I do feel we might get something, and I think if there's one of us is going to score a goal, I think it's going to be us, because you're right what you're saying earlier there. They are just god awful. Like up front, you would think, you know, a player like Negredo, they would play to his strengths, but they don't at all. There's not enough crosses going to the box. They're like us in a lot of ways. They're disjointed. They didn't sign players who they needed. They just signed players for the sake of it. You know, getting rid of David Nugent and Jordan Rhodes and replacing them with Gested and Patrick Bamford just kind of makes you wonder whether they were planning for the Championship when they made those signings. And then obviously you've got Traore, the winger, who looks absolutely fantastic until he actually has to do something with the ball and then invariably frigs it up. So I'm not worried about what they've got, really. I think that if they could get down the wings past our fullbacks and lob it in, they'll score for fun, because we've really struggled against big strikers this season. Ben Tekie, I mean, he'd done the business again at the weekend for Palace, but he had us earlier in the season. We've seen Ibrahimovic do it. Giroud, you know, anybody with a bit of height seemingly seems to do well against Sunderland. So I do think that, you know, like what Jim says, you cut off Negredo, and that's pretty much all they've got. But I think the point you made earlier, Jim, about Kazri was a good one. He's got to play, but I'm not convinced he will. There's something inside of it just nagging, telling me that he won't play.
Because
he does, but I've just got a feeling that he might not. You know, he's a bit of a homer, isn't he, Kazri?
He is.
He's good in the home games, and then you go away and you wouldn't see him do anything. But I just think for the creativity that he gave us in the last match, he's got to play. Like, but I'm not convinced Moyes will, even just because of the backlash he's had from playing him and him doing well. It wouldn't surprise me if he just stuck two fingers up at everyone and played Januzaj or Barini instead.
Well, is he really going to play Barini though after that debacle?
I don't know. I've got a feeling that. Can you remember when? I think it was Di Canio kept us up, and every game he seemed to get the best out. Well, not every game actually, but for the games that mattered, he got the best out of the players which he had at his disposal. He was very uncontroversial with what he was talking about in the press. And as soon as the season was over, he started wielding the axe and chopping and changing this and that. And I just think that Moyes is maybe a little bit in the same boat, just seeing out the season with what he's got, you know, not upsetting the apple cart too much, so that, you know, come the summer, he can move players around without having, you know, controversy hanging over him. Mm. And I think in the instance with Barini, I think he'll probably get game time still. I think inside Moyes is probably fuming at that. But generally speaking, I think he's got no choice but to use the players that he's got for now. And then in the summer, you know, I think Barina will be one of the first out the door. Anyways, I think we'll all probably agree with that.
Mm. Yeah, I think if Kazri doesn't fit his plans, he's got to play him, because if he continues to play as well as he did last week, he might get more value out of him, because he's certainly going to be a more valuable, sellable asset than Barini is. So, like, you may as well, if we can get his reputation back to almost, well, slightly higher than what it is at the moment, closer to that of last season, you might get a couple more million for him. That's what he should be thinking about.
I would agree with that, certainly. I mean, just before we carry on talking about these potential transfers, just going back to something that Tom said about the Middlesbrough manager being a caretaker manager and with regards to Shakespeare at Leicester. I just wonder, is that something that we can expect from pretty much every caretaker manager, would you say? Is that like because they don't have the ability, because they don't have the capacity to do anything but see something out? I mean, bearing in mind that, from my opinion anyway, what I saw from the Leicester team was based, it was more about how unhappy the players were with their current manager for some reason. None of us really know what was going on there. And then it's almost like, as Tom said, they're a completely different team and a far better team. They just had this ability to sort of bounce back, do you know what I mean? Immediately just resume where they left off. I mean,
I think that it's definitely the exception to the rule, Craig Shakespeare. I think that in the modern football, I don't think it's him. I think, to be honest, to go completely off topic and not go too far off topic, Leicester are a bit of a one-off situation. They were losing a bunch of close games all season long. They won a bunch of close games last year. And the truth of their ability obviously lies somewhere between what we saw for two-thirds of this season and what we saw last season. And that really, it's hard to judge them anywhere because they've just been such a crazy, random football story, unlike one we've really known, well, at least in my time watching football. Mm. And I think next year under Shakespeare, they could be useless. I think... We really, at this stage, don't know that he's that good a manager. Yeah, for whatever reason, it wasn't working anymore under Ranieri. Him going in there has given him a little lift, but we don't know it's anything more than that. Di Canio gave us a little lift. He's obviously a horrible manager. It was a one short little spark. I think for a modern football club to be sacking their manager without an idea as to who's replacing him, I think it's just bad management on all levels. There's sort of this match of the day fallacy truism that Steve Gibson's a good chairman. And I'm not really sure it's true. I'm not really sure when we all decided that he was one of the best chairmen in the league and what he's really done to maintain that. He sacked Gareth Southgate when he had them in the playoffs, and it took them about 6 years to get back up after that point. And I sort of just really wonder, where are the club going? What was their game plan? I looked at sort of the squad they came up with, kind of a bit of a championship all-star team. Sort of you look at people like Adam Clayton, Ben Gibson, they were probably among the best players in their position, sort of top six, eight players in their position in the championship. And maybe before all this influx of money came into the Premier League, that would be enough for 15th, 16th. Ultimately, it's proven not to be enough. Negredo's been as flaky as he was at Man City, but around less talented players, and he scored less. So I guess we probably should have seen that coming with hindsight. Yeah. And yeah, I'm more in line with Gaff. I think we've got a good chance of beating them. Obviously, I'm expecting a poor quality game. You're talking about two teams that are destined to be relegated. But I don't see any reason, if we play with the right mentality, I think Kasri absolutely will start. I think that's a no-brainer, that we can't win the game.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Karen Jones.
I was just going to say... Gav mentioned before about that. I think it was Gav's mentioned that they're good in the air, and you know that could be where we come undone. And that's actually a really good point, because if you look at, you're just flicking through the stats of season, you look at aerial battles won for our lads, and you've got Billy Jones who's been our top aerial battles won with just 80, and you've got Middlesbrough with Alvaro Negredo who's on like 170, and you think just the then play a much more direct game. You've got someone like Negredo who's very good in the air and very strong. He could cause us a few problems, but it depends. Will he chuck Kone back in, do you reckon, or do you think he'll just stick with what he did last match?
Well, I mean, it seemed to... I wouldn't say that it really worked that well, because it's not like we were up against anything particularly difficult, but...
Andy Carroll was a formidable threat.
Yeah, that's true enough, I suppose, when he's not injured, which I believe he is again now, actually. For me, I'd play Kone. I mean, I don't know why you would keep him out, do you know what I mean? For me, he's our strongest defender. For whatever, I'm not sure what sort of tactical finesse there would be in keeping him out of the squad when he's fit to play, for my part. What do you make of it, Gav?
Well, I think the reasoning behind him not playing was because he was absolutely shocking the week before, the game before. I just think with Coney, he's patently a very good footballer. We saw it last year. You know, physically dominant, quick, reads the game well. But he just seems a bit off the pace at the minute. I don't know whether his mind's elsewhere. You know, I've got a feeling that's the case with a lot of the players at the minute. They can't wait to be getting away from here, you know, and they're kind of counting down the days. Coney is definitely one of those. I mean, I think he just looks like, the way he runs, he does look quite lackadaisical, but he's not a lazy player because, you know, we're not seeing the same guy who went shoulder to shoulder with Yaya Touré and left him eating grass. Mm. We're seeing a different player who, for me, just doesn't seem to look as bothered as he should be. And I'm struggling to describe how I feel about it, but he's kind of in that place now where he knows we're down, he knows he's going to have at least three or four Premier League teams who want to take him off us. And for the rest of the season, what's the point in pushing yourself because we're down? That's kind of where I see Coney at, and I think that's probably why he didn't play the last match. I think Moyes has a lot of trust in O'Shea, and I think he likes Denier, who for me has looked better at centre half than he has anywhere else.
He has the last few weeks. Yeah. He's looked really good.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I've actually had I put an article out today on the site about which players, I know we might come to this later, but about which players I would be on, which ones I would offer new contracts and so on, of the players who were out of contract in the summer. And I was actually quite shocked by the amount of people who don't want us to keep O'Shea. And I just think, you know, you look at how much he's played since he come here, regardless of his age, and how, you know, managers fall back on O'Shea and see him as you know, the man to put in the team when we're not doing so well or we're lacking a little bit of leadership or stability. I just think from now until the end of the season, Moyes is probably going to stick with O'Shea if he's fit because just for that reason solely, you know, we haven't got a great deal of leaders in the team as it is. And just to stop further embarrassment capitulating every week, you probably need him and Catamol in the team for as long as you can get them in. So
yeah.
I don't see where Coney fits in. I don't know where he fits in unless we go with the three at the back, to be honest.
We are going to, certainly we are going to talk about player contracts shortly, but just with regards to Kone, what do you reckon about, is that something we can definitely expect to go now? Is that like, we're going to see, is the saga going to resume or is he going to go straight away? Is he going to go for big money? Is it going to be the same sort of money that was mooted during the transfer window when we did everything to hold on to him?
No, it won't be. I don't think it'll be the same kind of money that Everton were quoted to be bidding in the summer or in January. I just think, if I was Ronald Koeman and you were looking at him last summer, I'd just look at his attitude and I'd think, do you want a player like that around the club? You know, someone who, instead of getting his head down, he got given a new contract, he got what he asked for, remember? And instead of, you know, thinking, right, I'll get my head down, you know, we might go down, but at least we go down and, you know, he'll give a good account of himself. He hasn't. He's been pretty pathetic, bar one or two games. When he came back from the African Cup of Nations, he looked really, really good for a couple of games. And then again, it's, you know, the last few weeks, he's been dire. There's a fantastic picture away at Bournemouth, I think it is, when we concede. And you can see Jordan Pickford screaming because he's so frustrated at conceding. Kone looks like he just doesn't give a toss.
He always looks like that, doesn't he? I'm not entirely sure. I think he just has that look on his face constantly.
Yeah, but not in the same way as, like, I mean, Kenwyn Jones was really, I mean, he's one of my favourite players. Actually, he looked, in inverted commas, lazy at times, but I think it was just like his demeanour, wasn't it? With Kone, I see a different demeanour this season to what I did last season.
Yeah.
Complete different.
Is it, when you say about money, I don't know if we're going to just like a fire sale and just try and get rid of everyone as cheaply as possible. But Coney, he's got that clause in his contract. He's like an £18 million release clause. So I don't think they would have put that in if they didn't want to sell him for that price. I mean, I don't know how we're going to deal with selling players. Are we going to try and get the most amount of money possible? Like some of these other relegated teams who, like, remember when Wolves managed to squeeze every penny out of us for Stephen Fletcher, despite them like being dead and buried and gone. So I don't know whether I don't know how bad the finances are that we're just going to say, like, say Everton came in and said 10 mil for Kone. If we just go, yeah, go on then. Or we say, well, actually, he's got a release clause of 18 million. And if you don't, if you're not paying that, well, you're not having him. See, I don't know which way we're going to go, because when we got relegated under Bob Murray, couple of years, in 2003, that was just kind of sell all our players, just get them out just as cheaply as possible.
Yeah.
So I just don't, I'm not really sure how it's gonna, how they're gonna do that. But Kone will be gone as soon as either our estimation or valuation is met, or someone triggers this release clause. I mean, he's not worth 18 million on last season of this season's showing. But I think we've just got to try and get as much money possible out of these, and if you don't, if we can't sell them, well, you're just staying then, I guess. You're under contract.
Yeah, well, I would like to see that. But well, now moving on to contracts. That was mentioned earlier. We're talking about John O'Shea. Gav, you mentioned Jason Denier. Now we've got some questions on Twitter again. We've got Lee Armstrong here, and he's asking, if Jason Denier was available, would you have him permanently? So, Gav, do you want that question? Would you?
Yeah, I think if he's available, yes, 100%.
Because Man City is too high a level for him, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not got any future there. And but the problem is, I think when you take his age into consideration, you know, I think he's still 21, so he's still very young. If he's available, there's going to be far better teams than us for him. Like, I think we'd struggle to keep a hold of him unless he's really enjoyed playing under David Moyes. You just got to kind of consider that, don't you? You know,
is he so good that we couldn't keep hold of him?
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a number. Yeah, I do. I think there'll be a number of European clubs who would love him.
Yeah, I'd agree.
For what Man City would let him go for. I think he's probably more suited to a more European game than the Premier League. I think he's a little bit more slight, good ball player, reads the game well, quite pacey. So he'd probably fit in the team in France. Definitely in a team in Turkey, because you know he's already done well there. So I think he's not going to struggle for clubs. I think Man City would probably let him go for next to now, because just a player off the wage bill who's not really going to contribute anything to them. And you know,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure they would. He's really highly thought of there. Like really highly thought of. There's a lad on TalkSport, I think it was, or Five Live, one or the other, saying that I think inside the club he's really highly rated. Obviously he's been tipped for years, hasn't he? As this almost like the Vincent Kompany replacement. That's certainly not going to be the case. Like we've seen, he certainly has his shortcomings, but I think they'd want over 10 million for him. Myself, I really do.
Big missed opportunity, in my opinion, Jason Denayer. It took Moyes until our last 8 to 10 games to realise he was the best centre-back at the club. I think if you look at him over the last month, how good he's been, I think if anyone's getting dropped for Kone, it has to be O'Shea. His whole time at Sunderland, O'Shea has struggled against athletic centre-forwards. Negredo's not that athletic, but he still definitely has the beating of O'Shea in his air. But I just look at Denea and the amount of time we wasted playing him in central midfield because Moyes was probably too conservative and reluctant to give him a run of games at centre-back. I just look at it and think, in 2-3 years' time, I agree with you guys, Man City probably a level above what he's going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's sniffing around the Champions League as a starting centre-back. And you just think, cool, if we'd have used him properly, we mightn't have stayed up, but we definitely wouldn't have been as bad as we have been. I think he's been very good this last month. He's still a bit raw. His decision-making still isn't great. But the fact that we wasted so much time with the Jason Denea holding midfielder experiment, I think it looks bad now. I think in 2-3 years' time, it'll look really embarrassing that we used him in that way.
Interesting. A spanner in the works. Gav, what do you make of that?
I agree. I think it's impossible. Obviously, hindsight's greener, but I just think there was a time when he looked quite good in the centre of midfield.
Yeah, he looked promising, didn't he, when he started out?
Yeah, it was around the time we were winning games, a brief period we did, November, December time. He looked all right there. Then it quickly became apparent that he wasn't a centre mid because he just doesn't have the ability to play as a midfielder. He's always been a defender, and he patently a very good one. He's quite good in the air, reads the game well, like I say. So I just think that he'll not stay here. If he does, it might be another loan, which would be great, because at the end of the day, it's a good player for another year. I mean, but I just think he's probably going to be looking at it himself and thinking, well, I'm at the right age now where I need to be playing regular football. Maybe it's time to move on from Man City. I don't think Man City will hold him back from leaving. And I don't think he'll struggle to find a club. I think he'll be all right. You know, I don't think he'll probably have better offers than Sunderland, which is a shame, isn't it? Like James says, it's just a shame that... Well, this season's just been a massive shame, really. There's a lot of misuse of talent being going on at the club. I find that more and more as the weeks go on. You know, there's players like Kasri, who we're only just starting to see in the team now. Yanazai, who I think is a lot better than what we've seen. I think he's probably been played in the wrong position that doesn't suit him. And, you know, I think even in the last 8 weeks, we've seen how to misuse Jermaine Defoe because he just hasn't had a touch of the ball. It's just been a big shame this entire season, really. But Denier specifically, a very good player, I think, who probably going to get a lot better. And he'll go on to bigger and better things in Sunderland. I know people probably disagree with this. Like, maybe not in this group, but, you know.
Talking about contracts and things like such things, but Jay mentioned earlier about John O'Shea. Reckons that he should be dropped. I mean, we're looking at going down at the Championship. He's one of the oldest serving players at the club. And he's got some pedigree to him. I would agree, I think we can all agree, that he struggles against athleticism. Whether or not that's the mitigating factor for a centre-back, and particularly a skipper, I'm not entirely sure, particularly if we can line him up with younger, more athletic defenders, certainly. But Tom, what would you make of O'Shea in the Championship? What do you think his chances are?
His chances? What do you mean?
Well, do you think he'll suit it? Do you think he'll be capable of dealing with that? Is that more his level at his age now?
I'd be well in favour of giving a new contract just for the sheer sake of experience. You need a bit of calm heads back there. I mean, he's not been, but don't get me wrong, he's not been fantastic by this past season. No one has, but he's Mr. Reliable. He's always like it's been mentioned, every manager falls back. We always end up going back to John O'Shea. It used to be, at some point in the course of a season, we'd have a centre-back partnership of going back to Wes Brown and John O'Shea. So I think his experience would be valuable in that. However difficult the Championship may seem, when you watch some of these games live, I watched Norwich versus Brighton on Friday night. I mean, Brighton have already been promoted or whatever, so they're probably a bit hungover. But the standard is quite poor. And when you play in, like, there'll be a handful of that top six probably will once again be competitive. But from about eighth to anything down at the bottom, it's all complete dross. Yeah. And I don't think John O'Shea would struggle. And it would be quite, I think we need some kind of, like, a young centre-half to partner him with. Preferably either one that already plays in the Championship or is willing to take the drop down, and so they can learn alongside O'Shea. And he probably won't start every game because he's about, I don't know how old, about 35 or something, and he'd be 36, whatever. But it'd be useful to have, and hopefully we won't play as much, but we say that every year, and he always ends up playing loads because managers just seem to like him. And there's not been, I wouldn't say there's been any point where he's like really let us down, so yeah, I'd be all in favour of him. Captains in the Championship.
I definitely agree. I think having someone of his experience around is just like invaluable, not just for the first team, but for the young'uns around the place as well. I think if you look at the teams who are going up this year from the Championship, and you look at the teams who are going down, I think there's no one who's going to be as good as the likes of Brighton or Newcastle. You know, I think John O'Shea would be able to breeze through 20 to 25 games of that season. Mm-hmm. It's not played at a great pace. I think, as Tom says, you have someone with a bit more legs alongside him, whether that's, I think we've got Tom Beadlin in the youngsters. I don't know if he's any good, but it'd be nice to see someone come through, or if we bring someone in who's a bit quicker, if that's all you'd need. I really do think he's the kind of head you'd want around the place. Because, I mean, he might end up turning into a really decent coach or manager. You know, he's played under Sir Alex Ferguson, so you know he's got some good experience. I think it'd be silly to let him go.
I'm sorry, but I just really don't see it. I know I'm in the minority, but I just really don't see the point in wasting his wages on him. Like, we're expecting him to play half the games. We're talking about experience. He's been at the club through all the rottenness, all the sort of accusations of a drinking culture at the club, all the bad patches. Are we sure that he's not just part of the problem? I don't enjoy watching him play football. I think he's too conservative. I think if we want to go into championship games and be a dominant team and play high up the pitch and suffocate the opposition, actually try and win a few football matches, do we really want John O'Shea passing backwards to the goalkeeper? Do we really want him calling our back line back and giving the opposition a bigger pitch to play in? I just really think if we're as skint as everyone thinks we are, and when you consider our recent history of losing matches, I'm not really too sure what he offers. I just don't see it. I think it's time to move on. I think he will get another contract for the reasons you mean, and everyone's mentioned the sort of fallacy of the idea that, yeah, experience, oh, played under Fergie, yeah, keep him on board. But really, I think if we're going to be a smarter football club than we have been under Ellis Short, and we're going to move forwards, tough decisions need to be made on players like O'Shea. What are they really offering on the pitch? What is this intangible experience? How valuable is it? And personally, I know I'm in the minority, but I'd move on from him.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, very good points there made by you, James. But it was only recently that he got a contract renewal, wasn't it? It was only a one-year extension. So is that... I don't find it likely that they will be desperate to keep him, to be honest, whether I think he should stay or not. I don't think that they'll be desperate to do it. Obviously, it all depends. We don't know how many people we'll have to sell or what we'll actually end up with in the end. So it might just be desperation forces our hand, do you know what I mean? But talking about... We've got a lot of players out of contract. Just... Quick list: Pienaar, Lescott, Honeyman, Larsson, Kirchhoff, and Ichibi. Now, out of those, I can pick two that I would perhaps offer a contract. You know, and to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure that they'd take it. I mean, you look at the likes of Lescott. I mean, we're not going to keep him around, surely.
Ugh, what a waste of money.
Yeah, not for, he had a great time on that, didn't he? Just like, yeah, I'll come and just park my arse on the subs bench for the next... If that, do you know what I mean? Terrible. I don't know. What do you make of them, Tom? Oh, out of contract. Anyone you'd keep?
I'd offer give me that list again.
We've got O'Shea and Ichibi, Pienaar, Lescott, Honeyman, Larsson and Kirchhoff.
Out of those, I'd probably offer an Ichibi another contract. Like you said, I'm not sure he'd take it. I've got this feeling that Seb Larsson's going to get a new contract because of how Moyes was talking him up the other week. It's how we've missed him.
Was he talking about reliability or something like that?
Yeah, it's just, you know, Britishness, yeah, or whatever.
Reliability shite.
Yeah, it's just like you don't. This is just a wind up now, isn't it? It's just the rest of them. Kirchhoff, I don't know. I think he might even retire at the end of this year. He's out for another 8 weeks because he's fallen over something. I don't know. Pienaar and Lescott, no point. And well, I had me rant about George Honeyman a couple of months ago. I just don't think he's very good, but we've got to pretend he is because he's from Sunderland or wherever. I think if they were going to give him a new contract, they would have done it by now. Just an Ichibi. But like you said, he might want to go to China or wherever. He might not fancy the championship. But yeah, it's slim pickings really.
I'd really consider giving Kirchhoff one just because I think he's arguably the best midfielder I've ever seen play for Sunderland. I think he's absolutely unbelievable. I think that 6 month spell under Sam Allardyce, he's just unbelievably classy. He was a Rolls Royce. And yes, I know he's had a terrible injury record this year,
injury record before we got him as well, though.
Yeah, but we're saying that we're going to offer an Ichibi a contract. He's had equally an injury record, you know.
Not as bad as Kirchhoff this year.
I think an Ichibi's only played 100 games in his career or something. He's about 28 years old. I think, like, Kirchhoff, I'm not saying give him a bumper contract. We're talking about a one-year you know, prove his fitness. If you can get, you know, 20, 25 games out of Kershaw in the Championship, he'd cruise through that league. He really would. He's so classy. He's an absolute class act. If you could harness him for even half the matches, he's probably worth giving a contract to. If people say Victor Anichebe is worth giving a contract to, I think Kershaw is, because they're both equally injury prone. You probably shouldn't give either of them one, really, because if he wants to build a young, hungry, reliable squad, neither of them should be given a new contract.
Thing is, with the players that we're talking about as well, Larson, O'Shea, Anichebe, and Kershaw in particular, you've kind of got to consider just how much we're going to be able to do in this transfer window as well. You know, I think you're talking about if all of these players left, you're on about replacing 10 players because you've got the three loanees as well. Mm. On top of that, we already needed reinforcements because we've got a pretty small squad. And then added all together, just you kind of wonder how much we're even going to have to spend, what players are available and would even come to us. I just wonder whether for the sake of, you know, easiness, Moyes might just offer them all contracts because I can well see it. I think the one least likely to get a deal is probably Kershaw, because he's the one who's played the least under David Moyes.
Now Gav's talking about this.
I can see Lescott getting off the contract on that basis alone.
His and him and Pienaar cannot get contract, lads. Surely.
Going with Gav's logic here, right? Going with Gav's logic.
Yeah, got a good point.
We will be desperate. We could potentially be desperate and we could have very little room to manoeuvre. And he's already there. And is he really... He'll probably look at that like that. You know what I mean? He's had him there. He's been training. He's been at all the training games. We've been, like, getting his fitness back up and that. Would it make sense to then tell him to go away at the end of the season, just before pre-season starts, for the Championship or lower league? You know, I can see the logic to Moyes offering him a contract.
I think it'll not happen, but I can definitely see situations where we might offer contracts to certain players. I think in particular O'Shea, Anichebe, Larson, Kershaw. I think those are the four that are most likely to get new deals. You can probably make a case for everyone bar maybe Pienaar. I think Pienaar's the only one really where you can't really make a case for him. Mm. Lescott, as daft as it sounds because he's never kicked the ball, I just feel as though he's a player that he might bring in and just have to sit on the bench next year as well. Where else is he going to go? He'd probably go to another Championship club. So, to be honest with you, I don't know what David Moyes wants to do in the summer. If his plan is to totally, you know, strip the squad bare, keep maybe a handful of players and then bring in, you know, a lot of young new players, and great, but I just don't see that we'll have the funds to do it. And I think there'll be a lot less manoeuvring around than we expect, and I don't think we'll be signing as many quality players as people maybe expect. I just don't mean to put a downer on anything. I just think that's kind of the case. I've got no faith really that we'll solve all of our problems in this summer window. Mm. I think that this long-term plan, supposed long-term plan, is probably going to go beyond this next year as well.
It's going to be a slog,
especially in terms of recruitment. You know, yeah, and I don't think we'll necessarily be able to bring in the players that we want.
Depressing, isn't it?
It makes sense.
It's logical. It's logical, I think.
Yeah, it is.
I don't see how you can just suddenly wipe the slate clean. The summer, he's already had two transfer windows, which were basically just to consolidate the season, bring players in who would tide us over. Many of them who were the ones out of contract, but I don't know. I think in the summer that we'll definitely see a raft of players come in, but I don't think there'll be so many leaving. I think we'll still have the crux of this team. I think you'll still see Ndong, Cattermole, Gibson. I think you'll probably hang on to Manone even if he wants to leave. I think there's just a lot less manoeuvring around to be done. You know, Billy Jones, Love will stay. Djilabodji's probably going to be first choice next season because of the amount of money we've supposedly put down for him. I don't think there's going to be enough money there to just totally wipe the slate clean like maybe Newcastle have. You look at the team that they put out most weeks, and it's, you know, doesn't unrecognisable really compared to the one that they had last year. I don't think we'll maybe sell enough players for the money that you need to be able to do that.
No, we won't spend 12 million on a striker, will we, or 12 million on a midfielder. But what you said earlier, where you said, we don't know what David Moyes wants to do. I hope David Moyes knows what he wants to do, because it doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing. Because he's not like he's bought into any blueprint, because it's not been all British players. It's been a bit of a mix. It's been old, there's been young. It's been just a bit of a botched job. And when you look at those out of contract players, I mean, I'm terrified that Seb Larsson is going to get a new deal, because, and I think he will. I think after his points in midweek, or not in midweek, a couple of weeks ago, he obviously sees him as a reliable player. And I think he's just going to get worse and worse. And in the Championship, he's just going to be just an absolute plodder, isn't he?
Five goals, you know, in five seasons, Larsson scored.
Is that it?
I don't think he's scored any in the last two or three.
It's ranked that now. It's absolutely awful.
For a midfielder who plays pretty much every time he's fit. Yeah,
dead ball specialist, isn't he? Free kicks.
Best free kick taker in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Christ, I'll never forget that. It's been a while since I've played FIFA Mind, but yeah, I always loved hearing that. Now, with regards to, talking about Moyes there, he brought that up briefly. We've got another question on Twitter from Reese Benson. And he's asking, why, when he's been so negative from the outset, does Moyes feel the need to pretend we have a chance of survival at this stage? Anyone want to cover that?
Hard to say, really. I mean, I guess because it happened under Poirier, maybe he's crossing his fingers, maybe it just a little part of him thinks, I'll look like a genius if I turn it around. But yeah, no, it's a very fair point. I mean, we all thought we had a chance of staying up, and he gave off the impression he didn't at the start of the season. And then all of a sudden it's gone completely 180, where he's there, he's talking about his win percentage. And it just seems like he's bluffing. It seems like he's played his hand. He's got no faith in the squad he's got in front of him. And now he's sort of trying to bluff to back his way out of the corner. I don't know. I think he's clearly lost his confidence. I think we're looking at a fairly broken manager who's lost faith in his ability to do his profession after Manchester United. And that's really the crux of why now, when everyone else is thinking, okay, tough season in the Championship, or even sort of a more realistic person might say, if worst comes to worst and we go down, we're still fighting for pride in these last few games. He's sort of not doing that. To rewind back to what Gav said, I thought that he made a good point about sort of Moyes wanting to keep a core together, not wanting as much turnaround as we had in the summer. And from the outside looking in, he looked like he was well out of his comfort zone with the amount of transfers he had to make in a short period of time before the start of the season. And I imagine in his head, keep Seb Larsson, or if I can keep another couple of these guys that are out of contract, I at least know what they can do. It's not as risky as bringing someone in from the cold. If we sign someone from France, how do we really know they're not going to be another Gilabogi? I mean, I imagine, like Gav said, he'll want to keep the same players. I think for all the reasons we mentioned, there's no one on that list that absolutely has to be a Sunderland player in the summer. There's no one that really, either by talent or their ability to stay fit and be play consistently over 46 game season, should be considered shoo-ins. But I think that definitely two or three will stay, most likely Larsson being top of the list for the reasons that you guys mentioned.
Fair enough. And another bunch of succinct points from you, man. Absolutely. I mean, with regards to for my own take on it, I've already said I kind of agree with the sort of the scenario that Gav was describing, in which we might end up with Lescott. I mean, going down into the Championship, although it's not such a massive gap or anything like that in talent or anything, and certainly it could be described as rougher, it should certainly rougher around the edges. With regards to the players that we haven't really seen much of, do you know what I mean? Like, I mentioned that I think certain players were brought in for the Championship specifically. Looking at players like Paddy McNair, do you know what I mean? Obviously with injuries and things like that, that happened. But to Gilabogi as well, are we going to see like an opportunity for them to actually prove themselves without the pressure that they get? Because a lot of these players, they did come into a very high-pressured situation. Do you know what I mean?
I made this point on the last show, I think, that I've kind of got a theory that there's a number of players there he just doesn't want to put in the mix right now.
Mm.
Gooch being one of them, Donald Love, Jilabodji. You know, unspectacular players, but players that are probably going to be pretty important to us next year. And there's no real need to play them when you know we're bottom of the league and the fans are on, you know, on their knees, essentially just totally distraught by what's happened this year. There's no point in throwing players who traditionally haven't reacted well to pressure into a pressure situation, which is, you know, Love, Jilabodji and Gooch, essentially, you know, lads who are probably going to form the crux of our squad next year, be very important to us over the 46 games. I feel as though maybe that you're right. Yeah, those were specifically bought with a longer view in mind, knowing that if we went down, they'd probably be a part of the squad. I suppose it all goes back to this theory that some people have, some included on this call, that we're maybe preparing to go down last year because we knew that this was inevitable, and kind of, you know, deals presented themselves to us. Certain players like McNair and Love and Jilabodji that were just, you know, worth taking on, knowing that they would still be here down the line.
And having an opportunity to bid them in early, you know what I mean, in some way, shape or form. Well, I mean, also, back to that brief thing about Moyes, I'm not entirely sure where the question's coming from, because he hasn't struck me at all as a person who's trying to be optimistic or anything like that. You know, I think he does the bare minimum, and we can accept that of him. It's the bare minimum of what's expected of him. He can't come out and just be completely honest and just be like, look, leave me alone. I know it's bad, just leave me alone, which is obviously what he wants to do. And I was thinking whether or not this is some big plan or whether he's completely okay with relegation or not. And I watched him on the touchline for the last match, and I watched his reaction when we nearly scored. You know, I watched that reaction from him, and he was gutted. He was genuinely into the game. I didn't expect that to him, because generally you see him sitting there with his arms folded, looking angry, but not very animated. He was punching the air, he was kicking off for however briefly. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder if that is a sign of the frustration of mounting pressure on him, not necessarily from his employer, not necessarily from Ellis Short, like, if you do this wrong, then I'm going to sack you, because we can all agree that's not really going to happen. So that can't be where the pressure's coming from. So is the pressure, what was mentioned earlier, about him being broken? I don't believe he's broken necessarily, but I certainly agree with the point that he perhaps feels sorry for himself, really, I suppose is the best way to put it. Is he looking at it and thinking, well, I'm doing my best, but it's not working out for me? Do you know what I mean? And he's stropping about that. What would
you think? There'll be a certain sense of pride in that. I don't think he may look like it, but he obviously cares. It's his profession. It's what he's worked all his life to do. So, yeah, there's probably a certain amount of his ego is probably taking a massive battering because he thought he was...
Again.
Because prior to United, he was, you know, the next... Well, the latest hot trend or whatever, if you want to imagine David Moyes as something quite hot and rousing.
Trendy.
Or trendy. It's just... It's not going to work here, and I just want him to fuck off. Yeah. It's been quite nice not having to bother with it for the past 2 weeks. It's been quite nice.
It's been refreshing, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been nice.
But then we have to drag ourselves back to it because reality is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm afraid that's pretty much all we've got time for. We should probably go through and do a few predictions, really. Gav, anything to say about the match on Wednesday?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think we'll probably get something. I think if anything, last week was anything to go by, I think we've got something about us with Kasri and the team, and I think Borough are doomed. I think they've just got nothing, really. I'm not saying that we're anything special, but I just find if you put two poor teams on the pitch, it's going to be one that has a little bit more than the other eventually. I don't think it'll be 0-0. I think we'll probably maybe sneak a 1-0 win. I think Kasri will be influential again. I think he's got to start. And I hope he starts, because if he doesn't, there'll be absolute hell on. But yeah, 1-0 Sunderland, I'm going for.
Fair enough. What about you, Tom?
0-0.
0-0. Straight up 0-0. James?
Yep.
2-1 Sunderland, with Gav. Potentially our last win this decade in the Premier League. 2-1 Sunderland.
Well, since you put it like that, lovely. What about you, Jim?
I'm going to go 3-0 Sunderland, and we're going to mount the greatest escape ever. No.
Yeah,
I think we'll win by a goal.
I think it's going to be a relatively high-scoring game for us, for these two teams. Do you know what I mean? I can see either us with a 3-1 or them with a 3-1. I don't know which way it'll be. But I like to think that coming down to it, both teams will see that mathematically, technically, there's still a way of keeping themselves up, and hopefully they'll play for that. I can't see it, though, personally. But, yeah, so let's see how it goes. Yeah, join us again next week when we will have all the latest news and be able to report. You'll no doubt know, but we'll let you know how that went. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on the Acast app and on iTunes. And, yeah, thanks for joining us. This is the Worker Report signing off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.